we have $10 million USD to go and, you know, to buy these streamers to stream up to $40,000 per month for a 12-month contract. So I was like, okay. Like, I was 16 at the time, didn't know what I was doing.
You're listening to the Humans That Game podcast. I am your host, Quentin Alums. I also go by Q. Just wanted to thank you so much for tuning into this week's episode. I'm excited to be back. I'm excited to actually have my equipment and not be recording on my phone. So everything is going well on my end. This week we had Kieran on and he's just amazing, dude. Tried to record with him before and the audio corrupted. So it was cool just actually getting audio that actually worked. So just I'm excited for you guys to listen to this episode. We talked about just talent management, about his company, about the rapid growth that he had initially and just where he's going in the future. And then just everything esports. I know it's a really good conversation that a lot of you can benefit from. And just also what's going on in my life. Company is going well. You know, we're growing fast. Q1, this is our best year yet. And we're only in Q1. We're bringing on more people, hiring full time. So I'm just super excited about that and just really, really getting down to business. It's been fun, you know, and it's been really cool just like being in my element and traveling more and talking to just legit people in esports, legit people in business, and having people come up to me like, yo, I listened to your podcast. Like, yo, I didn't even know esports was a thing. Thank you so much. You know, it's just been really, really cool having the growth that I have in my business, but also with this podcast. So a lot going on with me. I will be traveling a lot more, hitting a lot more cities, interviewing a lot more people in person as well. Also just traveling for speaking. Like I just got a ping to speak in Austria, which is incredible, you know? So I'm enjoying life. I'm enjoying this podcast, enjoying my business. I just wanted to thank you guys so much for tuning into this podcast because I'm having the time of my life and like there's nothing else that I would rather be doing right now. So thank you so much for allowing me to live out my dream. And I hope you enjoy this episode as much as I did recording it.
I got reached out by an NFL player that wants me to sign them as their agent, so...
Damn, dope.
Yeah, just talking to him. He wants to get into gaming and esports. He's had a passion for it. He's actively in the league like NFL, but he's not playing, so he's a free agent. So I'm just gonna see what I can do with him, you know. But that's it since I've last spoken to you. But yeah, that's
legit though, man.
Yeah,
it's crazy just seeing like how many people are trying or. I'm actually just getting into esports. No, it's cool seeing it being recognized like as a legit thing by actual athletes, you know?
Yeah, and the more traditional sports come into esports, the better it is for esports anyway. Agreed. So more exposure. And I think that's what a lot of companies try to do. Like I was talking to Facebook and instead of mass recruiting large streamers that are already in esports, they're trying to bring traditional sports people and offering them contracts to stream.
Really?
Yeah. So a lot of streaming platforms have been doing that. And I see like, you know, Gary V's getting into it and with his Call of Duty franchise and you know, just everyone's kind of hopping in right now. Because it's such a hot like buzzword, esports and gaming. So I think for me, like being in it for so long and seeing it grow is just awesome.
Agreed, man. What do you think of like the streaming wars, like the Mixers, Twitch, the Facebook, YouTube? What do you think of that?
I mean,
it's a deep breath, man.
Yeah, it is, because I know how much people are getting offered, and for such a low amount of like live viewers, they're getting like, you know, good amount of money. So, but I know, like, you know, like with Facebook, that's just change for them. It's just pocket change. So, you know, maybe for Mixer, since it's you know, Facebook has been around, it's a multi-billion dollar company. But with Mixer, I think, you know, looking at Ninja's stats, he did all right converting his followers from Twitch to Mixer. But Shroud, on the other hand, was, you know, killing it on Twitch. He was like averaging 60K viewers per stream. Yeah. and now he's doing less than 5,000 on Mixer. So less than like 5% or 10% of his followers have converted onto Mixer. So I think it's still going to continue, but I don't know if their strategies are going to change for the new year.
Yeah, I never really watched Shroud. Like, I'm familiar with Shroud. Like, why do you? Because how many viewers is Ninja average now on Mixer?
Between I would say 10 and 30. I haven't watched him in a while. Because I used to watch a lot of, not watch a lot of Ninja, but I used to, you know, look, stay in touch with when he was kind of blowing up on Twitch. And since he's gone to Mixer, I've checked a few times, and it's, you know, in the range of 10 to 30k. So it's not doing too bad. But Shroud was killing it. I think after Ninja left, he was one of the, he had the most subscribers on Twitch. He was averaging anywhere between 40 and 60k live viewers, so he was killing it. And for Mixer now, he's doing less than 5 to 10,000. So it's not going well for him. But
Would you say the platform matters then for like everyday people? Because it sounds like, and again, I'm not overly familiar with Shroud. Like, I know him, I've watched him. Would you say like he just didn't have that superstar power that Ninja had, or like for everyday people, does it matter so much on the platform, or should they just stick with Twitch if they're already streaming on Twitch?
It's, you know, some people need the money, and I'm pretty sure Shroud was offered a ridiculous amount, but I don't think Shroud, because Shroud is just a really, he's one of the best FPS players, or if not the best FPS player in the world.
Yeah, he's a beast.
But I don't think he has that same personality as Ninja. He's not able to attract that, which gives Ninja the platform he has today with Adidas and all that stuff. So I think he's getting most of his exposure for being the best, but Ninja has, you know, transformed. You know, he was a decent Fortnite player at the beginning, and H1Z1 and whatever else he played. But I think he's transitioned into more of like a family-friendly brand now, and he's focusing on growing his brand with his wife and things like that, and doing big things for gaming. So I think that plays a lot into converting your followers to wherever you want to go. And I think Twitch has just been around for longer. You know, Twitch is the go-to streaming platform for so many years now. But it's interesting. People focus on Twitch and Mixer, but actually, like, YouTube gaming has a lot of watch time now. Facebook has been picking up a few percentage in their growth. I was talking to someone on Facebook at how their 2019 went, and it's weird that they're just focusing on Twitch and Mixer. It's obviously because of the Ninja move. But there's big streamers going to Facebook. You know, YouTube just signed Laserbeam, Muselk, and was it Valkyrie? Or yeah, I think it was Valkyrie.
Valkyrie?
Yeah, Valkyrie and Courage. So almost all the 100 Thieves guys and things like that. So I think it's a good move. It's going to be an interesting year and who's going to come out on top. But I think for this year and maybe next year, I think Twitch is still going to be on top. But, I mean, they're going to have to lock in some of their streamers, because I know they locked in Dr. Lupo and Tim the Tatman. But yeah, I think it's going to be interesting.
Yeah, I like the competition, man. I think it's gonna force Twitch to level up. It's going to force everybody to level up. It'll be interesting to see how it plays out. You said something in there that I really like, and it said, like, Shroud is, like, the best, right? Or one of the best, if not the best. Whereas Ninja, you know, like, he's not necessarily a pro player anymore. He's more of a personality. He's more of a brand. But he's still, like, getting all of this attention. He's getting these brand deals. Like, he just started working with Adidas, you know, like, like, just these huge collabs. But it's not because he's the best, it's because he's different. He's more of a brand. And I think, just from like a business perspective, which is really how I look at all things, like, it's really good to be the best, you know. It's really good to be best, but it's better to be different. So I love that standpoint. Like, you got to be more than a good player. You also have to have that personality. You have to have that draw, that it factor. So I love that you said that. But enough of me ranting. Like, tell me about Elusive. Like, first off, what is it? Why'd you start it? All that jazz.
Yeah. So Elusive is been around for a little bit over a year and a half now. I'm also working at Dulcero, which is a model agency that just got into esports. So I'm doing their esports and gaming there. But for Elusive, I started it in 2018 in December, I think. I was reached out by a company called Nono Live, which also is a streaming platform, and they were signing, you know, exclusive contracts and things like that. and they didn't want to go into the NA market due to the fact that, you know, Twitch was taking over and it was all about Twitch. So they couldn't compete with that. And they had a $10 million budget, but if they came to NA, they would have spent that all on someone like Ninja right off the bat, and they wouldn't be able to sign anyone else. So yeah. They went into the Australian market, which is a little bit smaller, and worked with a few creators there. So they contacted me through Twitter, actually, because I tweeted out something, and they assumed that my name was an agency. They just assumed that I was a talent agent. I don't know why. So they just asked me, they're like, hey, you know, do you have your own business? And I was like, yeah, sure. And then they're like, all right, we have $10 million. we have $10 million USD to go and, you know, to buy these streamers to stream up to $40,000 per month for a 12-month contract. So I was like, okay. Like, I was 16 at the time, didn't know what I was doing. So I was like, Mom, register a business right now. You know, do that, all that stuff. She did it. We came up with the name Elusive, got some free branding, and until then it's been the same, and I've just gone with the flow. So I think it's, you know, it was just weird because a company coming saying, you know, I have $10 million USD to spend on influencers. I was just, my mom was like, nah, this is a scam, get away from them, you know. But I researched into them, and their founders were partners in the phone company Huawei and Alibaba. So you know, I did my research, and then I asked for the right documents for them. But one learning curve, I learned a lot from that, since it was my first working with influencers and brand and learning about contracts and stuff, is that I did not sign any contracts with influencers. So I was just trusting them to give me my commission on it. And obviously some did and some did not. But that's on my part. That's my fault for not signing a contract with them. And I take responsibilities for it. But it's led me to where I am today. And now I know, you know, to sign agreements with influencers and as well as brands. So I just keep doing that now.
Dude, that's legit. And I totally get that on the not signing contracts and things like that. Like, once you learn, man, you'll never make the mistake again. So I feel that. But that's a crazy story, man. I wish someone approached me with $10 million when I was 16. I probably would have fucked it up. But that's that's really, really cool. So what is like your day-to-day look like now? Like, is it still just like talent management, or like, what does that actually look like?
Yeah. So after that deal, I was super pumped, super motivated, thought I was going to get till $10 million contracts each month on left, right, and center. But you know, I was just, at the right place at the right time, I guess. So, from there, it wasn't as, it kind of slowed down. It got to the point where I was applying for jobs, cause you know, I got into talent management, and they're like, I was like, okay, is this it? But then I realized this is not it. So I went to go grab experience. So I kind of slowed down on Elusive. I was still in school full time. So I went to work at a esports complex that, you know, you can go play. I did their social media there for a while. And then I left there. I got a job remotely for a German company, and I was doing their influencer marketing. So that was kind of my first real position as an influencer, you know, marketing campaign person. So I did their campaigns for their mobile game. But it didn't work out because I had to wake up at 3 a.m. every morning. And I was going to school at 8. So I was trying to get those 5 hours in before. And they were working from Germany, so the time difference, and it was super complicated. So that didn't work out. But I'm in contact with them whenever they need, you know, campaigns. And then I've worked on Elusive, worked with, you know, brands like Twitch, little smaller esports platforms to integrate their service or product on influencers. I've grown my network to almost 1,000 influencers, but I actively seek 50 influencers deals each month. And it's good. I'm just focusing now. I know at first it was more about the money and, you know, oh, I'm 20% commission, 15% commission, whatever it is. But now I'm focusing on building a relationship and trust between these influencers. So I'm the go-to agent, you know, they refer me to or whatever. And I think that's how the NFL player came along. And then I got a recent job in November by Dulcetto, which is a model agency. They have 40 plus employees, and they asked me to come in and do their esports division. So I thought it was a great idea because that allows them to be exposed to esports, and it only grows the industry. And that's my end goal, to grow the industry and be a part of it. So that's me now. And I'm here today just working on Dulcetto. I have my family involved with Elusive, and a friend, close friend of mine, that wanted to get into influencer marketing. So I've helped them. So yeah, we're mainly focused on talent management at the moment.
That's amazing. I love what you said in there just about trust and influence. It's a big thing that I talk about in like all of my talks. But you've grown pretty quickly, and it's just really cool to hear that story. And I know we talked about it a little bit before in our first edition of this podcast that messed up, but can you talk to me, what were you doing before? Because I know you were doing some gaming stuff as well.
Yeah. So prior to Elusive in December, I kind of left esports and gaming for about a year because I just didn't know what I wanted to do. I always wanted to be a pro player, but I just didn't have that skills. You know, I just told myself, it's kind of, being an esports player is kind of like being a sports athlete, not physically, but mentally. And you have to have that something inside of you to become that pro player, right? So I came to terms with the fact that, like, listen, I'm not able to become the pro player I wanted to be. So I just added my both likeness for esports and business, and I came up with Elusive. But prior to that, I was making a YouTube videos. So when I was 14, so in 2015 or 14, I made my first video and it got 400,000 views. So I realized there was opportunity there. I uploaded in 2014, left like nothing happened, just, you know, posted a video, came back 2 years later in 2016 of September. And so I was 15 at the time. It had 400K views. So I was like, all right, I'm going to do YouTube. So I did YouTube for 2 months only, short period of time, but I grew it to about 96,000, not hitting 100K in under 2 months, I think 8 million views. And then I don't know what happened, but I think I got demotivated and my grades were going down, like every kid says when they get into YouTube and esports. So I just dropped it completely, and I kind of miss it, but I don't, because I don't think I would be here where I am today if I kept going with YouTube. I think I would just, you know. So I think I found exactly what I want to do now, which is working with influencers and brands. I think it's amazing, and I think it's great. And that's what I've been doing, and that's how I got involved.
What games are you playing, and what were you posting about on YouTube?
My first Call of Duty I got into, I was like 11 or 12. I was pretty young, but it was Call of Duty. So I learned about, you know, FaZe Clan Optic and all of those MLG. So I was following that. And then I actually was posting, I transitioned completely, went 360 and went to Clash Royale, which is a mobile game. Just, you know, weird game. I picked it up and I was decent at it. I would say I was probably top 1,000 in the world, but I wasn't able to get that, you know, next level to become a pro player. So I just posted good content, or I thought was good content back in the day, did pretty well. And then I just, Clash Royale kind of died, like no one was really playing it. And then now I'm just following all multiple games. I don't really play as much anymore because I don't have time. But I watched, actively watch, you know, League, CSGO, Dota, you know, Fortnite, whatever it is, just to keep up with the trends and everything, because that's my main goal, right, is to see what's the next big title and who's going to be the next big influencer, so I can be the first one to sign him and bring him those deals that he's looking for or she's looking for.
Are you paying attention to just like mobile gaming at all? Because I know there's a lot of people that just don't realize how big mobile gaming is. Like, do you work with any like mobile influencers or anything like that?
Yeah, I work with a few. I actually, like, since I was in the Clash Royale scene, made friends, you know, during my time in mobile games, and, you know, from them going from professional Clash Royale players, they've gone into Vainglory and I think Firekill, that's super popular, or Fire something.
I don't know what Firekill is.
Something is it a Fire. MOBA? Yeah, it's something Fire. It's huge in Mexico. Obviously, there's PUBG Mobile in Asia that's massive. And yeah, so the thing is, coming from a mobile gaming place and working with people that play on PC and console, you know, there's always that mocking of mobile gamers is not a real esports, yeah. and you know, all of that stuff. But people actually don't realize how huge mobile gaming is and how much revenue it brings into esports and eyes. And if you look at the stats of some of these mobile esports tournaments, it's insane. But yeah, I work with a few mobile gamers, but they don't tend to get as much views or able to grow their brand as quickly as, people that are involved in Fortnite or PUBG or Call of Duty or something like that.
Yeah, I really like what just Call of Duty has done with the mobile. I think it's a good just like gateway from like this lower barrier entry, like, yo, I've got a phone, I'm going to play this game, to, okay, I want to upgrade to a PC, I want to upgrade to Tower and really start working on my craft, really start growing. So I really love what they're doing. Just mobile gaming in general is a little weird to me, not something that I'm super interested in, but I do recognize opportunity. I don't know, it like crushes in like Japan. So yeah, I was curious from your perspective. But like I was saying before, like you've grown really quickly, got yourself plugged in really quickly. What advice would you give to someone that maybe they don't want to be a professional gamer? Because I think a lot of times when people say, hey, I want to be involved in esports, immediately people, their brain goes to, oh, you want to be a professional gamer. Let's say, what advice would you give to people that maybe just want to get plugged in on the business side? Like, where can they start?
I know this is cliche, but just do it. Like, just go with the flow. Do internships, volunteer. One thing I didn't mention to you was I used to like to not pretend, but I like to get involved in these small little esports orgs that are kind of like just Twitter pages and not actually like companies. But I kind of learned a bit from there, which was like a little bit of management, a little bit of like kind of one pager contracts and things like that. So just getting hands-on on everything was super important to me. And due to me only being 18, people like, you know, I'm really young and this and that, but like at the end of the day, the youngest people are the most involved in esports, right? Like when I work with brands and, you know, we either video call or they see my face, they're like, oh, you look young or whatever. And I'm like, yeah, but would you rather want to work with a 60-year-old guy that doesn't really know anything about esports or is only in it for the money rather than me that's super passionate about it and knows what I'm doing? But I understand from the brand's perspective, it's harder to trust an 18-year-old with $10 million, for example, or a few hundred thousand dollars, right? And hopefully giving them the ROI they're looking for. But best advice, just try to get involved as much as you want and do what you love. Like, bring in an element of what you want to do with your career and see if it would match with something in esports. For me, it was running my own business. So I was thinking, what would be the best thing for me to do to run a business, but in esports? Because I have a passion for business and esports, right? Combining them together, and it came out to be talent management. So that's what I like to do. Some people like coaching, so they want to be a soccer coach or a football coach. And you like esports, you could become an esports coach. Or just adding things like that, I think it will help you like find your kind of route or your path in your career if you really want to get into esports. That's the only advice I really have. Just do it and follow trends and get on phone calls. Like, I've learned so much from several people by just getting on phone calls. I know, like, you know, it can be a hassle sometimes just listening, but I think I've gotten a lot of knowledge from you know, industry leaders and things like that, and just following people is super key, I think.
Yeah, I love that advice, man. I would agree. And just using what you have to get in the door. I remember I was in an Uber ride with one of my old bosses, and he was just talking to me when I was first getting started, like just in business in general. He's like, use what you have. Like, you're super young, yes, but you know a lot about social media. You know a lot of things that us older people don't know. Use that to get on boards. Use that to get in clients. Use that to get in rooms. So I love that you say that. Like, that's a big reason why I started this podcast, because I wanted to meet people, wanted to get knowledge from people already doing it, but also just show that I know what I'm talking about and use what I've done on the business side, on the personal branding side, to get my foot in the door with a team or someone else that I wanted to learn from as well. So I love that advice. You said something earlier, and I'm not going to keep you for much longer, but you said something earlier that you're working in social media. Can you talk to me about, like, on the content side, what do you think teams and organizations can do better when it comes to, like, marketing and just content in general?
When I was working with the esports complex or working with little orgs and doing their social media, I just found that they just didn't know what they were doing. They were just following what they were seeing rather than having, like, I showed somebody what a social media plan was or a calendar, and their mind was blown. But just simple things like that, being organized, having, you know, I don't know what the rule is. You must know yourself, but is it like, it's like, value, promotion, value, or something like that. There's like that formula that
the jab, right hook you're talking about, or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. So there's little things you can do like that. And I think all esports is doing right now in orgs is just promoting. They're not giving value or letting their audience know who they are. And the only people I know that does that and actually engage with their audience is obviously the largest ones, which is 100 Thieves and FaZe Clan. They're based off content, right? Like, obviously you have your Fnatic and Cloud9 and G2 who are doing really well in esports, but the only reason 100 Thieves and FaZe is larger than them is only due to content. And I think going forward, I think if you're an esports org or looking to start one, I think content is where you should start, and not into esports titles. You can do that once you're large enough and you have investments and revenue coming in, but I think content is simply the easiest way to get your brand out there and connect with your audience on another level, rather than just tweeting once a month or once a week.
Yeah, and I think it goes back to even the conversation we had initially, dude, with Shroud and Ninja. You know, like, Ninja gets more, he has more pull, you know, he has more viewers, because not because he's the best, but he's different and he has that brand and he's creating a lot of content. So I love that advice, and I think I would agree as well. I know WWE just, like, filed a patent for, like, something in esports, like an esports league, which would be very, very cool to see them, like, run storylines and stuff like that. So I'm curious to see if they actually do something with it. But yeah. I love what you said just about content.
Yeah,
that'd be crazy though.
Yeah, that would be I like to see when non-endemic brands get into esports and try to do something. It's like, what are they gonna do next? You know, it's super interesting to see these big name brands coming in with, like, Coca-Cola, BMW, and Nissan, and all these large companies. It's really interesting to see all of them, and I'm glad they're coming in and giving us more exposure, because that's all we need right now. We're still in our infancy, you know, in like size, and people think, you know, it's going to be insane. I think the next few years is going to be insane with esports and gaming.
Agreed, man. I'm super excited about it. I had a friend that I told about esports like 8 years ago when I was in college. And then he's like, yeah, it's cool, whatever. Like, fuck that. Why would I watch someone click on the screen? And then literally like a couple months ago, like, he saw Gary Vee talking about it. He's like, did you see this? I want to get involved. It's like, fuck you, dude. But it's cool, you know? It's cool to see, like, people, like, just position, like, change their mindset on it. So I agree. Like, just really cool seeing these big brands, big people get into esports, man. But I don't want to keep you much longer. Lastly, where can people learn more about you? Where can they keep up with what you're doing besides that old YouTube channel that you're not posting on?
Right now, for business, just LinkedIn. So just Kieran John. That's where I kind of like. I really like LinkedIn. I want to push content on LinkedIn, even though haven't posted in a month. But hopefully I'll have some sort of strategy or some sort of posting, you know, calendar. So Kieran John on LinkedIn, that's only thing right now. But I do appreciate, you know, you for taking the time to have me on. Obviously, I want to thank you for that. And seeing you post content on LinkedIn and with your business growing super quickly as well, I think it's super awesome to have a chance to actually chat with you. So I appreciate that, man, a lot.
Dude, likewise. This was awesome. I'm geek too. And there's so much opportunity on LinkedIn right now, man. Like, definitely take advantage of it, because there's not a lot of people doing anything or talking about anything esports at all. So definitely do it. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you again for tuning into this week's episode of Humans That Game. I love this episode. I love that. Love that conversation. I'm so glad that this audio did not corrupt this time. As always, I appreciate any reviews that you guys can give me, any five-star reviews, any feedback, any guest requests, anything that you have for me, please send it to me. You can find us on LinkedIn at Humans at Game. You can also find us on Instagram at Humans at Game, or you can find me on any social media platform at @TagJustQ. And I will get back to you. But as always, thank you guys so much for listening to this episode, and I will see you next week.